You're listening to Trade Entrepreneur, the show for business owners by business owners. I'm your host, David Sudworth, and welcome to this week's show. Great to have you back once again. I hope everyone's managing to get through January, which always seems to be one of the most dullest, miserable months. But you listen to this podcast and we have no negativity here. This is a place of positivity and looking forward. Although I must admit, January is my least favourite month. So if you're finding it hard to get motivated at this particular time of the year, then I'm with you on that. It is difficult, but let's have a good talk today about something which I find fascinating. And it's about mindset, and particularly the mindset of entrepreneurs. One thing that I've always found difficult to understand is, why don't people think like me? I think, you know, we all think that. We all kind of wonder, you know, am I mad? Am I the only one who thinks this? So I did a bit of research about and looked at the background to all this, and I actually realized that it's not so much that I'm mad, that just we're all different. But particularly when it comes to entrepreneurs, they have a mindset which is very different from most people. And I'm also very conscious of the fact that the word entrepreneur, I think it's one of those words that has probably been appropriated with negative connotations over the years. And I don't think that's massively fair, because it's probably something to do with the fact that, you know, it derives from Latin, so it's you know, seen as a bit wishy-washy and, you know, a bit self-aggrandizing. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. And I think the word needs to be reclaimed for its actual real meaning. And I think one of the key things to understanding what entrepreneurs are, or indeed any kind of label, if you like, when it describes someone's personality, it really does come back to mindset. I think where you've got labels which aren't traditional job titles, for instance, I think the mindset element is never too far away from the surface. So if you look at, like, you know, Olympic athletes, gold medal winners, they're all very big on mindset and how they've achieved that. And I think when it comes to entrepreneurs, again, the mindset element is crucial. So I started jotting down what I thought were the key facets which go towards having an entrepreneurial mindset. I whittled it down to 10. I did go a bit more than 10, but I thought, well, it's going to be a bit too long for a podcast, and also 10 just sounds like a nice round number. So, but like everything, you know, let us know what you think about these, whether you'd disagree with any of them, whether you'd add any more, and what those facets may be. But for today, at any rate, we'll just look at the 10 mindsets of what I believe contribute towards being an entrepreneur. So for the first one, I've started right back at the beginning. If you have an entrepreneurial mindset, chances are it probably started when you were a child. Now, I know myself, when I was a kid, we used to play football quite a lot on the field near my parents' house. And around that time, which was like the mid-80s, supermarkets started selling multi-packs of fizzy drinks and stuff. And one week I was with my parents and I said to them, oh, can you get two packs rather than one? And they looked at me and they thought, well, why do we need two? You know, one's perfectly enough for us for a week. And I said, well, it's for playing football. And because what I noticed is that when we went out playing football, it would probably be on the pitch about 11 o'clock. And if we're playing well into the evenings, particularly in summer, you'd take a drink with you, and by 2 or 3 o'clock, it had gone. So I decided that I would take the multi-pack and I would sell it. I would split it and sell it. Now, the odd thing was, and this taught me a very valuable lesson early on, literally just across the road from where we played was a shop, a convenience shop, which had exactly the same cans. And all my mates had money to go and buy a can. So they could have gone. They could have ignored what I had and just gone to the shop. But they didn't. And the funny thing was, I actually charged 5p more. Now, that taught me a big lesson. It taught me you can actually spot an opportunity quite early on. And secondly, as well, convenience will pretty much always trump cost, because all they had to do was literally walk 30 seconds to the shop and pay 5p less. And don't forget, 5p when you were a kid in the 80s is not an insignificant amount. But nevertheless, they still paid that money. And, you know, we had a laugh about it, etc. But I was able to make a profit on that once I'd paid mum and dad back for that extra pack of drinks. So, you know, I mean, some might listen to this and think, well, you're tight, so-and-so. And it wasn't trying to be tight. It was the first time working things out, how things work in business. No one taught me that. It was just kind of something that I just kind of figured for myself. And I'm not claiming that in itself is some kind of great superpower or anything. But I think given where I am now, looking back on it, I kind of look and think, yeah, that there was the germ of an idea. That's kind of how your mind works, is looking for opportunities. If you look at a lot of successful people, you'll find that there will be a point in their life, and it's usually quite early on, where they something just switches and they start understanding stuff in a way which maybe even fully grown adults don't understand, because we are all different. And like I said, it doesn't mean to say that I'm anything special, but it's certainly probably a unique mindset rather than a special one. Number two kind of feeds into that in a way, that someone with an entrepreneurial mindset, you don't necessarily feel part of a crowd. And that can be quite disconcerting, because as human beings, we are social animals. We do like to mix and we do like to feel part of a community. But I think one of the things about being an entrepreneur is that you know that you don't really feel part of that. And I think the reason is that actually being an entrepreneur, it's not normal. It's not a normal job. Most people are not entrepreneurs. Most people will either go to a job where they're employed and they receive a salary, or you will create a job for yourself, work for yourself, but essentially it's still the same method. You're going to get money to work. Whereas an entrepreneur, yes, you might actually do part of the job or all the job in order to get paid. Your mindset is greater than just simply that straightforward transaction. It's about looking forward. It's about analyzing. It's about thinking. So the not feeling part of a crowd, I mean, you, going back to the initial example I gave about the fizzy drinks, you could argue that if I wanted to feel part of a crowd, I'd just give those drinks away and feel good about myself. But that kind of didn't really register, because it was more about how we are hardwired, how everyone is wired in a certain way, and that's the way that I'm wired. And it's important to recognize that it's not that it's anything weird or anything, it's just you are wired in that particular way. And if you understand that, you can understand why you may or may not have an entrepreneurial mindset. Number three, you as an entrepreneur, you do relish your individuality. I know myself, again going back to when I was a kid, I loved playing football, and like most kids, I wanted to be an outfield player and score lots of goals and get all the glory and all that business. Unfortunately, my running skills were pretty rubbish. I just didn't enjoy running. I'm not a natural runner. So what I decided fairly early on, that there was probably a much simpler way to stay on the field, and that was to volunteer to go in goal. And I say volunteer, I was volunteered to go in goal. And initially I thought it was a bit rubbish, because clearly, you know, all those dreams of scoring the cup final winning goal at Wembley, that kind of slightly slid away at the time. But what I suddenly realised after playing a few matches is that I was actually quite good in goal. I was tall. I was about 5 foot nine at primary school. I went up to 6 foot one in high school. So I could easily pick out crosses. I could kick the ball. I could throw the ball quite far because of my stature at the time. As a goalkeeper, you've got to develop an individuality because, number one, you are the only person on the pitch on your team who has that position. Number two, you do know that you're going to get lambasted if you make a mistake. And number three, you do know that there are going to be certain times when you're going to have to make a call and it could be the right one, it could be the wrong one. So a lot of responsibility is put on goalkeepers' shoulders. I remember watching a video about goalkeepers back when I was a kid, and I think it was the Arsenal goalkeeper, Bob Wilson, narrated it, and he said, to be a goalkeeper, you've got to be crazy. I don't think it's so much craziness as such, but I think it's about, to be a goalkeeper, you've got to be aware that you are very individual. And for me, I became aware quite quickly that I wasn't part of the crowd because obviously I wasn't an outfield player. And number two, that I had an individual role which I was fully responsible for. So as an entrepreneur, you are you do have an individual role. And like it's often said, it can be a very lonely experience being a business owner, being an entrepreneur, because the buck stops with you. A bit like being a goalkeeper, the buck stopped with me. And I remember, I think it was Bruce Grobbelaar, the Liverpool goalkeeper, said, it doesn't matter whether there's another captain on the field. You are the captain of your area, i.e. your goal area. And I thought that was a great quote because it does sum up the fact that even though there might be people who claim to be in charge or leaders, as an individual in that role, you are the leader of that particular role. And I think it's a great lesson when it comes to entrepreneurship. The fourth thing which makes up the entrepreneurial mindship, I think, is that you daydream quite a lot. I know I do. And it's funny because, again, going back to being a kid, you kind of chided for daydreaming. You know, the teacher would say, snap out of it, get back, get your thoughts back into class. You got to concentrate on this. But I actually think daydreaming is really important. And the reason I believe that is because when you're in a leadership role, when you're in an entrepreneurial role, you really do have to think about things quite a lot. And you have to almost visualize things before they happen. And that's a shame because the school system almost says that you shouldn't do that. But I do it. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs do it. You know, it's very hard to see something work out in practice that hasn't been thought out beforehand in someone's brain. One of the big problems I have, particularly, is that I do it when I'm actually trying desperately to do all the stuff. So, for instance, if I'm reading a book, say on business, or I'm talking to someone about business, and I have a brainwave all of a sudden from what they've just been chatting about or what I've read, I will almost instantaneously start thinking about how could I apply that to my business, and or you know, how would it work if that was the case in my business? And that can appear rude, especially to people. And when it comes to books, I don't think I've finished a book yet because I only get through a couple of pages before I start writing stuff down. And then I'm on the internet trying to research stuff, thinking, how would this work in practice? And before you know it, I've kind of forgotten all about the book altogether, and I'm now onto the next big idea. So, again, it's easy to mock people who daydream, and you're sometimes accused of being deluded. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, there'll be some times when you daydream about stuff which just isn't achievable or feasible, but it's important nevertheless to go through that process, because if you don't daydream, then you won't come up with any ideas or stress test any ideas. I think anyone who thinks that it's a bad idea, they only have to look at the speech by Martin Luther King, "I have a dream." Without his dream and without him enunciating that dream, the whole cause that he fought for might never have gone as far as it did, as quickly as it did. But everyone could associate it with it, because everyone dreams to a certain degree. It's about whether it's permitted, for want of a better word. And I think when it comes to business, I think it should be more than permitted. It should be encouraged. Number five, I think if you have an entrepreneurial mindset, you are creative by default. And if you're not, you probably understand the creative necessity of certain things and then will get people to do it for you. So when it comes to stuff like writing, when it comes to stuff like putting things together for our website, when it comes to videos, when it comes to creating this podcast, for instance, that's all examples of where I've been creative. And the thing about being creative is that it will always happen and it will always be successful once you've gone through a number of different stages, and that's usually the daydreaming bit and also the failure bit as well. Because, you know, I challenge anyone to think of a famous person who hasn't gone through a series of failures and false starts before they've actually achieved something of note. And I think in society in general, not just business, I think, you know, failure is kind of seen as a bad thing, but which is weird, because you get all these books and you get all these, you know, these inspirational quotes where, you know, failure, that don't worry about fail means first attempt in learning. So there's no shame in failure. And to be creative, you have to have had that failure. I don't know if you've seen on the internet, there's like these pictures of an iceberg where you've got 5% success and that's above the waves, and the 95% of failure is below the waves. So the point is that when you see success, you only see the 5% of the work. The 95% which took you to get to that point is unseen, but doesn't mean to say that it didn't happen. So I think if you're not naturally creative, and there's certain things I can't do, which I nevertheless understand the importance of having them, so therefore I will get others to do it for me because I can't do it. If I can do it myself, then great. If not, then let's find someone who can. But nevertheless, I think being creative doesn't necessarily mean about you doing the work yourself or being able to do the work yourself. It's about understanding the value of having that particular tool in your kit, and then understanding how important it is to make sure that it's delivered in as quick a way as possible for the benefit of whatever you're hoping to achieve. Number six, you can usually spot trends and opportunities a mile off if you have that entrepreneurial mindset. Again, going back to the fizzy drinks, I saw an opportunity. Now, I didn't think at the time, well, that must mean I'm an entrepreneur. To be honest, it only kind of dawned on me, really, a few days ago when I started thinking about this podcast. So the one thing that I have found useful is when I went to a business meeting just before Christmas, and in that business meeting, the person leading it said, you know, as a business owner, you should be able to see around corners. And I instantly understood what he was getting at. Because if you can see around corners, then you can anticipate the future. And anticipating the future is important, because again, it's about being one step ahead. If you're not one step ahead, then frankly, you are one step behind, or maybe even two steps behind. But you need to be ahead of the game in order to anticipate what's coming down the tracks. Because, I mean, let's face it, if the likes of Blockbuster had seen what was happening with streaming on the internet, then that wouldn't have gone bust, and Netflix might have been given a run for its money, but it wasn't, because they failed to either look around the corner, or they looked around the corner but they didn't act. Again, you know, there's various examples of companies that were once leaders in their field and are now no longer in, they no longer exist. The likes of Toys R Us, for example, you know, they were everywhere at one point and now they've gone. And the reason is because they failed to adapt to changing shopping habits and a changing marketplace. Did they look around the corner and see it but didn't act? Who knows? But nevertheless, the fact of the matter is that they didn't take the necessary steps when they needed to. Otherwise, they would still be here today. So being able to spot trends and opportunities a mile off is really important as an entrepreneur, and it's probably one of the most important features that you can have. Number seven, and this I think is one that a lot of people stumble on. As an entrepreneur, you will have critics. There's no getting away from it. If you want to be successful, if you want to make a difference, then you're going to have naysayers, you're going to have people who will try to tip you off course, there'll be people who criticize you for things you do, there'll be people who criticize you for things you don't do. It's part of the terrain. And also, what you've got to understand is that for people who do this, have a look at what they've achieved themselves. Have they actually achieved anything that you want? Now, if they have, I would advise that you probably dig into it a bit deeper. If, on the other hand, and this is usually the more common situation where they haven't, just think, well, quite honestly, why don't you focus on making yourself better rather than having a pop at me? But that would actually involve them having a good look at themselves. And the thing about people who just are critics for being critics' sake, they very rarely create something for themselves that can be evaluated and dissected in the same way that they're doing to you. Now, what we realise is that when you have success as an entrepreneur, it just comes part and parcel of it. And you either let it affect you, or you actually use it as fuel. Use it as fuel to get better. Use it as fuel to prove the doubters wrong. Use it as fuel to grow and bring more products to market. Whatever you want to do, use it in a positive way. Because there's no doubt about it, one of the best feelings is actually proving people wrong. So yeah, you will get comments, you will get unpleasantries thrown at you. But as an entrepreneur, you know that because your mindset isn't the regular mindset, if you like, then in some ways it's probably quite unsurprising that you will attract criticism. It's not nice. No one likes it. But once you understand that it's kind of a byproduct, and in some ways it can actually be seen as a bit of a badge of honor, because if you think about very successful people, or famous people, or people very notable in their field, they will have had the very same comments made about them. You know, there's a great quote on the internet which says that behind every successful person lies a pack of haters. And it's so true, because every book I read about people being successful, they always put a little bit of time in to explain, you know, how they prove the doubters wrong. And the thing about critics is they take an inordinate interest in what you do, which is, I would actually term that as being a fan rather than a critic, because, you know, your fans will take a great deal of interest in what you do. So the fact that someone would do that but not describe themselves as a fan, I think they're probably in denial. I think they're an actual fan. So yeah, you will have critics or fans who come across as critics, but that is the nature of it. And if you get a fair few of them, congratulations, you're on your way to being a success. Number eight, you take responsibility for your own actions as an entrepreneur. It's not the government's fault. It's not the weather. It's not your family. It's not this, that, or the other. You own your own issues. And Don't get me wrong, there are times when you find yourself in certain situations which you know full well are not of your doing, but you can still control how you feel about how you react to those. And that's very important as well, because that's taking responsibility. That's about owning a situation. One of the worst things people do is that they think of themselves as being helpless in a situation, that they are merely just like a piece of wood in the sea, just drifting from one thing to another, and they have no control over it. 9 times out of 10, that's just not the case. You have some control over it, whether it's being able to grab hold of it and chart a different course, or at least mitigate the issues that emanate from it. So taking responsibility is an important thing. And entrepreneurs always take responsibility. They take responsibility for the failures. They take responsibilities for the people who they employ. They take responsibility for their image. They take responsibility for their health, their weight, their diet, etc. That's a really important thing. The one thing I noticed, actually, just going off at a slight tangent here about entrepreneurs, is a lot of them do like to be physically fit. Now, I know that's kind of slightly in keeping with the sports theme that we touched on earlier. And, you know, for me, I've not played football for years, so I've not done any form of physical activity for a long time. And a few weeks ago, well, just before Christmas, actually, I started doing some exercise, because I actually realized that, again, through researching all this entrepreneurial mindset, it's about taking responsibility, and I need to shed pounds. So that's what I'm doing. That is about taking responsibility for your own actions and your own life. It's really important. If people want to, a lot of people find comfort in blaming other people. It's never a solution. It's merely a bit like a sugar rush. It feels great for a few minutes, maybe. But it doesn't actually solve the long-term issue. It just masks it. So if you want to be an entrepreneur, then you need to start taking responsibility. The second to last one in my list is entrepreneurs always want to learn. I've got tons of books about business, about life in general. I must buy a book a week. I mean, you know from what I said earlier, I don't always finish them. But I love the fact that there may be some nugget of information out there which I'm not aware of, and I want to consume it. So that's why things like the internet are just, you know, I can spend hours online looking at stuff. When I was a kid, I would have an encyclopedia and a dictionary because I wanted to learn stuff. And what you'll never find an entrepreneur saying is, I know it all. Or they'll never give the impression they want to know it all. They will always be investing in themselves. They'll be going on courses. They'll be reading books. They'll be reading articles. They'll be doing things which go towards self-improvement and learning, because we never stop learning. Even people who think that they know it all and think that there's nothing else that they could be taught, they're usually the ones that actually need it more than anyone, because they've closed their mind off to new ways of doing things, of different ways of doing things. So, and I struggle with those people, because it's kind of those who are intractable about certain things. It's like, you just need to look at it from this point of view, and you might not agree with this. You might look at it and discard it, but at least you've given the courtesy of actually looking at it from this point of view. But wanting to learn is a really important facet of being an entrepreneur. And the final one, and this is one again which I didn't get for a long time, entrepreneurs, it's not about them, it's about inspiring others. Now that sounds very kind of wishy-washy and almost like, yeah, right, but I can honestly say, and from my own point of view, the reason I'm doing this podcast is not because I've got tons of time on my hands. I don't do this podcast because I particularly like hearing the sound of my own voice. The reason I do this podcast is because hopefully there'll be people out there who think, yeah, that's an interesting bit of advice, that's an interesting take on it, you know, or they might think, oh, I've not really thought about that, I'll give that a thing, or it might just think, well, no, that's definitely not for me. But that's fine. I personally want to inspire other people. That's why I do what I do. Obviously you have to make a living and all that. But I enjoy inspiring my employees. You know, if one of them comes to me with a task which they feel a bit nervous about, I'll say, you know, you can do this. You've got the knowledge to do this. I completely believe in you. And that's, you know, that is a very entrepreneurial way of thinking. A lot of people just go, oh, let me do it. Give it here, let me do it. Which is a complete, it doesn't solve anything. It deflates the person who's asking for help, and it doesn't actually help them learn. So it's completely self-defeating. You look at the likes of Bill Gates. They put money into charitable projects, etc., because they want to make a difference. Now, before I worked for myself, I wouldn't have believed this. I honestly wouldn't. I just thought they just want publicity. It's all me, me, me. And I can honestly say, hand on heart, I do not believe that's the case. It's certainly not the case for myself. And I think, you know, if you look at the likes of, I don't know, Richard Branson or whoever, he doesn't need the publicity. Let's face it, he just doesn't need it. But you're doing certain things, and it's because you kind of get a sense of satisfaction when you've helped someone. I know a few years ago, I was chatting to a chimney sweep about pricing, and I was saying, oh, you could up your prices, because they were very nervous about it. Anyway, about 2 years later, I saw them and they said, oh, I put my price up. That's thanks to you. And I said, no, it isn't. It's because of you. Because what happened is, number one, you sought the advice, and number two, you acted on it. So that is your success. Well done to you. Now, I don't benefit from that one iota, you know, and what someone else charges for service or product. But it's the mere fact that they'd gone through the process and decided to do something as a result of my input. That to me is more important. It's kind of, I guess it's why teachers do what they do. Teachers enjoy seeing pupils excel and realize their potential. And I think, again, going back to what I was saying about the word entrepreneur getting a slightly bad press, I think those who are true entrepreneurs, they want to inspire other people because they know how much fun it is and how much they get out of it. And they want people to have that same feeling. And I know for myself, I love the idea that because I love what I do and I enjoy reading and I enjoy learning, that, you know, it should be for everyone. So it's very rewarding, but not in the way that people would imagine. So I hope you found that quite interesting, the 10 signs of the entrepreneurial mindset. Like I say, it's quite possible that you'll have thought of others while listening to this podcast. And, you know, drop me a line. Our email address is david@trade-entrepreneur.co.uk. Or you can tweet me at TEP Show. That's on Twitter at TEP Show. Just send us a tweet and give us your thoughts on the show. If you listen to this on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Amazon Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, give us a like and subscribe, and it'll let you know when the next show is available. Thank you very much again for tuning in. This show is nothing without you listening and downloading it and giving great feedback. So please keep that feedback coming. Have a great week. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll see you again very soon.